I'd like you to open your Bible to Philippians chapter 4 and put your finger in Philippians chapter 4. Then turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'll give you just a moment to do that. Put a finger, marker, something in Philippians chapter 4. Then turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Philippians 4 and 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we'll read here in just a moment in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I just want to share with you that this past year has been the most challenging year financially for the ministry. It's been it's just been a challenge. And on top of that, the work that we had done on the furnaces to have those replaced, I mean, that just, it was something that that day was coming, just happened it was this past year. And between now and the end of this calendar year, there is a very strong possibility that Kathy and I may be ministering in four different nations. And there'll be more about that as it comes along. However, I do know that two of those nations, well, three of them, would be what you would consider, how can I say this, a very strategic and critical conference. I'll just leave it at that. I'm not at liberty to share the name of one of those nations. But what I can tell you is that out of those three, as far as I know, there will be no offerings received at all. Now, we don't go places for money. You know that. But I'm just letting you know that we're believing God for all the finances relative to not just the ministry in general, but also for the expenses relative to those particular meetings, conferences, however you want to term it. And I'm not asking you, in fact, we're not going to be receiving special pledges or promises. You know, we're just not going to do that. I'm just letting you know. I'm just sharing this with you. But the one thing that we are going to do is fight in this arena of finances. We, here not too long ago, the Lord moved for us to begin to have the freedom to come forward around the altar during both the pre-service worship and our regular praise and worship. And we've been doing that, and I encourage you to continue to do that, because I'm telling you right now, there is a spiritual something that is happening during all of this. I don't know, and I'm not trying to be critical in any way, shape, or form. I don't know what people are experiencing who don't come up, but I do know this. Something's happening. Something is happening. The Lord showed us how that this is, it's almost like we are taking a stand. We are engaging the enemy on the front lines. And so something is definitely happening in that. Well, likewise, when it comes to the thing, the whole issue of finances, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And this implies an ongoing process. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and the hearing that we need to hear comes by the Word of God. Eliminate the Word of God, faith doesn't come. Very simple. And this is something we often take for granted. I know that I have in the past. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. One thing I can tell you is this. It is not God's will for His children or ministries that He establishes to struggle financially. Now, there are those of you here and watching, listening, who have been facing financial issues. Call it hardship, call it struggle, but you've been battling these things. And it doesn't matter your income level. You have been battling these things. This is not what God desires for you as an individual or a family, and it's not what He wants for this ministry. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. If Satan can stop the flow of money, he can stop the advance of the gospel. And some people would say, well, now, Brother Martin, but you just have to have faith. Faith comes by... I agree with that. But food has to come from somewhere. Do you understand what I'm saying? Electricity has to come from somewhere. It doesn't matter if you buy it from the electric company or you purchase and install solar generators. I mean, it has to come from somewhere. There is always an expense related. Whether somebody steps in and says, I'm going to pay it all, or whether donations come into the ministry or what you have in your home. I mean, the money's got to come from somewhere. Now, if that money stops, if it stops, sooner or later your car runs out of gas. Sooner or later, you do not have what is necessary to go forth from point A to point B. This was true in Scripture, and you can see it. There were people who financially supported Jesus. There were people who financially supported the Apostle Paul. We're not going to go back and read all of these things, but here's what I'm getting at. The Word of God, it is quick, it is powerful, it is alive, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It works on the inside of us, but it's also a weapon against the enemy. We can sit around and hope for change. We can sit around and say that we are believing God for change. But if we do not do what will bring about the change, then why should we hope the change will come? This is true for individuals, families, ministries. It doesn't matter. We can say, God, I'm trusting you that you're going to come through. But what is the basis and the foundation for that trust? If it is not the Word of God, then it is a house built upon shifting sand. What is the foundation for what you and I believe concerning financial provision? Well, it's easy to spit out scriptures. But it's also easy to put on a CD and play those scriptures. And in many cases, it's not much different. There's a difference between programmed response and belief. Programmed response is when we sit around long enough and hear enough sermons, we just know what to say at the right time. Belief is a lifestyle. And therein lies the difference. The Word of God is the foundation for our hope, our belief, and our lifestyle. But until the Word of God, well, the Word of God is alive, until the life of the Word becomes alive in us, then when we speak, we're not truly speaking life. I think you understand what I'm talking about. Now, what we're going to do today, and... well, we're going to start today. And I hope that this does not become just another religious exercise. The intention for what we're going to start today is that we are going to change our belief system. And we are going to come to the place to where we are living, truly living, by the kind of faith God desires when it comes to our finances. Yours as an individual and a family and a ministry. And the Apostle Paul, he shared of financial hardship that he went through. He confessed financial struggles. We're told, well, you know, you shouldn't do that if you're believing God. And yet, Paul did that and he was believing God. We have faced struggles here in this ministry this past year unlike anything I've ever seen. But I also know that you, maybe not every single one of you, but there are those of you here that have been facing some of the same. One of the dangers is that we can become so accustomed to living with financial struggle that we accept it as a way of life. When we begin accepting it as a way of life, we will do nothing to see it change, even though we want it to change, and even though we will give the programmed response, I'm believing God for change. It's easy to look at our circumstances and say, here's what I make on my job, so this is kind of how it is. And we may not say that verbally, but on the inside, we have been programmed by our paycheck to see that this is it. But you see, in the kingdom of God, that's not the way it works. God, you know, in Luke chapter 6, where it talks about give, it'll be given unto you, and so forth, and people use that to try to get money in church offerings. And that passage is not about a church offering. It's about using your money to further the purpose of the kingdom and to share God's love and so on and so forth. But in that Luke 6:38, it says that people will give to you. They'll give into your bosom. God did not say you will have a good job and earn the money. What he's saying is, I mean, this is an incredible revelation, is that God will move in a way that goes beyond our ability to explain. And somehow, some way, we will end up with money. It will come to us somehow, some way. I can't explain how. I don't know how. Our problem is that we try to analyze that and figure out, who do I know that would give that money to me? Who do you know? And you think, well, I don't know anybody. There's nobody in my family that has money that could give to me like that. Who said it had to be of your family, your earthly family? In fact, God can move on lost people. The problem is that we just don't believe it the way God has revealed it in Scripture. That's why financial seminars are so popular. People want to know how to get rich, lost and born again. Invest for your future. Plan for your retirement. Well, I got news for you guys. You're looking at somebody who's not going to retire. And I don't say that in a joking manner. I mean, literally, the call of God on my life is there is no retirement. There will be change in the way my ministry operates, but there will be no retirement. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to be retiring and finding a place down in Florida and kick back, you know, and chase a jellyfish or something. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. God wants us to see increase. Please do not interpret this to mean God wants us all to be millionaires. No. God does not want us, and I'll say it like this, He does not want us struggling financially. How many of you heard how that this one company gave the University of Dayton something like $7 million or something? Just, you know, here's $7 million. Enjoy it. It's like, well, we think we will. And how many of us who heard that or read about it, the thought went through our minds, boy, I wish that was me. Gee whiz, I wish somebody would do that for me. Well, maybe nobody's going to give you $7 million, but what if somebody will come along and give you $700? How many of you, an extra $700 would help beyond what you could... I mean, it'd be revival time in your home. It'd be shouting time in heaven. See, we limit God because we basically, in our minds, conceive of what He can and cannot do based upon what we understand relative to our circumstances. And God is saying, you know what? There are a few billion people on planet Earth. You don't think I can move? You don't think that out of all the people and corporations on planet Earth, I can't do something to get money into your life? Are you saying that? We bind ourselves with our jobs. This is the best I can do. Who told you that? What if God's way of blessing you is to guide you to new employment so that you have double your current pay? Would you like that? So, yeah, I'd like that. Okay, you'd like that, but yet you basically... And listen, when I say you, I'm talking about, you know, people. As Christians, in our hearts, we're kind of like telling God it can't happen. We're telling God everything. We tell everybody what we can't afford. And God is saying, you can afford anything that I tell you to buy, and then I'll give you the money to buy it. You can afford anything. Boy, I'll tell you what, man, boy, if I only had... So why don't you have it? It all comes down to what's going on inside of us. And this has got to change. It's got to change in me. It's got to change in you, for you personally, and for this ministry. It's got to change. There is too much that we need to accomplish. Quite honestly, I wish we had so much money coming into this ministry that I could hire some people to do some of the things that need to be done and have been waiting to be done for years. Things that would impact our ability to reach this world. But I can't do it all. And like you, I only have 24 hours a day. Some of those hours I like to sleep. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith brings change. And the only way that's going to happen is based upon the word of God. Now, you have your Bible open, and you are in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Look here at verse 9. For ye know the grace... Here, I want you to read this out loud with me, okay? For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. Altogether. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now leave your finger here and look over in Philippians 4, verse 19. Altogether. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now leave your finger marker in Philippians 4 and go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Until these three verses, now these are the ones that I use the most. There are others that could be used in conjunction with this. But sometimes we get, let's be honest, sometimes we get overwhelmed with all the verses we're supposed to confess. And we feel defeated because I can't confess all of this. So you know what? Let's keep it simple. These three. Now look at this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. By the way, this is not the sermon. For ye know the grace. Do you know the grace? For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This prosperity, this increase that we're seeking is based upon grace. If you don't know and understand something about the grace, this is probably not going to work too well. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it talks about financial increase. It starts off identifying the grace, and then it's like he says, well, let me help you understand the application of grace to increase. And he does the same thing in chapter 9, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. All grace. This is really interesting because here is an image it portrays. If we begin to understand the grace, and if we begin to walk in this grace, that is the open door for the increase. Now, one way to shut the grace down is to try to figure out how to make it happen. It's not going to work that way. Grace is not about what you do, because grace doesn't come from you. It comes from God. We are the recipients of grace. Grace is a spiritual force that causes things to happen. Faith taps into that grace. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I want you to repeat these confessions after me. For I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ.
For I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ.
that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, that I through his poverty might be rich. Chapter 9, verse 8.
I thank you, God,
because you make all grace abound towards me, and I always having all sufficiency in all things, abound to every good work. Now Philippians 4:19. I thank you, God. You supply all my need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now we're not going to do any more of the reading or confessing right now, but we're going to be doing this in the future. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And guys, let's face it. How many more years are we going to sit around and hope for the change to come? How many more years are we going to sit around and just by program declare, I'm believing God, he's going to come through. And then every time a minuscule blessing comes into our life, we grab a hold of that and say, there it is, what I've been believing for. Somebody gives you a $20 bill, you buy that, or you use that and buy gas for your car. But next week, nothing's changed. Do you see what I'm saying? We're not talking about a temporary relief of an empty refrigerator or gas tank. We are talking about a change in the way we live. We are talking about not sitting around and wondering how soon the money's going to come in to buy the food. We're talking about sitting around having the money to buy the food and extra to be a blessing to other people. This is the change we're talking about. As we go through and do this in the weeks to come, this may be something that we do every Sunday for who knows how long. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Sooner or later, this is going to click for me and for others. Sooner or later, it can't help but not bring about change, first in our belief system. And when we wake up in the morning, we're going to know, hey, circumstances look like this, but I do know this. It's coming in. I know it will, because I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ. Through that grace, abundance comes in. I may never have a gold-plated Cadillac. I don't care. I may never have, well, whatever you think would be the cool stuff to have, the best, the biggest, the fanciest, whatever, you know, you conceive of. But one thing I do know is this. I have all sufficiency in all things, and I abound to every good work. We hear this morning. I'm motivated, you're motivated. Motivation does not bring change. Until we act upon what has motivated us, nothing will change. And I'm encouraging you, learn these verses. Make them confessions. It doesn't have to be the same confession every time. But make these verses a part of our heartbeat. To where when we speak this, it's not just vain repetition. It is a declaration of an eternal truth birthed in us by Almighty God. I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ. I know it. Today is the start. And I'm telling you right now, the first thing that we work on is our belief system. That has to be improved before we see the change in the financial situation. For all of you here, for all of you watching, this is true for Christians anywhere in the world. One of the things that just so, there are many people, let me say it like this, there are many preachers in third world countries who, the way they live, they're firmly convinced that they have to find a rich American preacher that can send them money, and that's how they're going to pay their bills. Well, I'm not saying that Christians shouldn't help third world ministries. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that's an example of a mindset that has to change. It may not come... I mean, I know of a ministry to where people, I mean, millionaires, who they may be atheists. They definitely don't profess, at least last I heard, they did not profess Jesus as Savior and hadn't any time in their life. They were pouring money into a ministry because they liked what that ministry was doing. Pouring money into it. Give them a phone call. What projects you have going? Well, okay, and here comes a check for like $500,000. So don't tell me it can't happen. But see, my faith is not what I see happening in other ministries. My faith has to be in what I see in the Word of God. Because even if I never see another blessed person or another blessed ministry in my life, I have the Word of God that promises me, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And relative to what we're seeing here in Scripture, one of those greatest riches is His grace. His grace. So now this morning, along with these verses that I am encouraging you to make a part of your life and a part of your confessions, I'm also asking you to be engaged in prayer. Prayer over your finances, not begging, pleading, you know what I'm talking about. Prayer over your finances. Prayer over the finances of all the other people associated with this ministry, those here locally, and then the ones that are our extended family all over the world, and over the ministry, prayer over the finances for the ministry as well. And you know what? My God supplies all the need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I'm telling you right now, I'm going to try to remember to make these declarations that come out of my mouth several times every day. Not just on Sunday. I mean every day. Because I want me to change. I want you to change. And I want to see other things change as well. Praise God. So this morning, as you're planning to give, I hope you understand that this was not a ploy to try to get more money out of you. You give what the Lord tells you to give. You be obedient to Him. Those of you here, those of you watching, one of the things that I pray is, Father, I thank You that people and organizations all over the world are giving into this ministry. When I say organizations, I'm talking businesses, I'm talking other ministries, profit, non-profit, doesn't matter, organizations all over this world are giving. Because I know it can happen. But I want to know it more than I know it now. And not just through experience, but because it's alive on the inside of me. Hallelujah. So as you're, if you don't know for sure what you should give today, just right now, just ask, Father, what should I give? Those of you watching, same thing. And you know, if this ministry is really helping you and sowing into your life by virtue of the Word of God being a help to you in that way, just ask God, should I be supporting this ministry, Grace Christian Center? Again, no pressure to all of you that are watching wherever you are. Just talk to God about it. That's all. And then respond according to what He shares and also what you would purpose in your heart.